Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the podcast, WBC presenting The Elaborators. I've got producer Simon in the studio with me. Hi, mate.
I'm here.
You are here, and I'm excited about you being here. Oh, I don't know. You want to know why I'm excited about you being here?
Tell me
why.
I'm not going there. Oh, yeah, I know this song.
You know this song?
It's got something about a birthday. There it is.
Is it really?
It is my birthday today.
Is it?
On the day of filming.
And do you know what I'm excited about? I'm going to cut that out before the internet shuts us down.
Yep.
But what I'm excited about is that I believe you're like a full adult now.
Yes, depending where your line is.
Okay. Well,
21.
To figure out where the line of actual adulthood is, we introduce to you Pastor Stan Ritchie.
Hey.
We'll let him in the building.
Well, you know, I actually have already challenged Simon earlier today.
Yeah.
The line of adulthood needs to be, he needs to actually try to drink coffee again. He could have crossed a line today that he doesn't even realize he crossed, but he's not willing.
I can't even believe this. Producer Simon, you lived in the United States of America, the capital of the world when it comes. They eat coffee for breakfast. How did you not end up being a coffee drinker?
I guess I just don't have a mature enough palate.
Yes.
There must be a few more birthdays to come, Stan.
Now, how will you know when it changes if you don't try?
Okay, sure. I will occasionally sip some coffee and not like it.
I've got a long black here for you to try. Would you like to try it?
Sure.
No. That's gonna. You don't try long black if you don't drink coffee. That's
why. Do you think it's gonna be bad?
He's gonna say no again.
Isn't this what you do on live shows and podcasts?
Give him a latte or a cappuccino with one sugar or something.
Why?
You got to bring him along slow.
Look, how do you know? I might love that and hate all of those.
It's a journey.
Okay.
It's a journey.
Life is a highway. I want to ride it all night long. I got nothing.
What are we here to talk about?
But
today,
I tell you what's really exciting is that we are, as we speak to you, we are preparing for the weekend of Easter, and we're going to do Good Friday together with the churches around Wyndham and bring a couple of thousand people together actually for that. We're pretty pumped because every Easter at WBC we get to do baptisms.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is exciting. Hey, Pastor Stan, why do we do baptisms? There's a good question.
Why do we do baptisms?
Yeah, but there's people listening that are going, I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
Especially, okay. All right, so you want the theological answer. You don't want banter and fun.
No.
No fun allowed.
Can I just say, Producer Simon, when I first met Stan, one of the things, I mean, apart from just he loves doing church on a Sunday and loves getting up there and having to preach and that just lights him up. The thing that I reckon lights you up even more than that is just dunking people underwater.
Dunking people.
It's just.
And hold them under. Yeah.
Sometimes not even for baptisms.
Sometimes just for fun.
Nice.
I do have 6 grandkids.
Yeah. I don't know how that relates. Yeah. Okay, good.
No. Well, for those that might actually be wondering what baptism is all about, baptism is a public profession of your faith. It's coming out in public saying, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I want everybody to know that, and I'm going to identify with Jesus' death and resurrection by baptism. Baptism is a symbol. We take them under the water. That's identifying with Christ's death. Lifting them out of the water is identifying with his resurrection.
And I thought it might be interesting to tie that into, I don't know, Easter.
Easter. Yeah.
Remember what happened at Easter?
Well, that's why we do baptisms on Easter. And by God's grace, we always have people ready to get baptized at Easter. But Jesus died on the cross for our sins on Friday. And he laid in the tomb on Friday, and then Sunday morning, he rose from the dead. So the symbol of baptism is the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just showing what Jesus did in his resurrection and foreshadowing what's going to happen to us because we're going to die.
No.
Yeah.
Hang on.
There's a movie killer.
I was sort of feeling pretty good until I realized that.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to die. But for those that have come to accept Christ as their Savior, they're going to raise from the dead.
That's wild.
And not like zombies.
That is a wild. Yeah. That is a wild thing to say public. That's crazy. You ever think about that? The faith.
No, the things that we believe are absolutely
nuts.
Crazy.
It's just nuts. But
Jesus was born of a virgin.
But really, right?
And the word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Yeah, John 1. Yeah. John 1. Amazing, amazing.
But
this is what faith is all about. It's actually understanding that there's a supernatural world that we belong to as much as this natural world, and there's something beyond our experiences here. And I love that public profession of faith that we do when we do full immersion baptism, which is different to some people might understand like a sprinkling, that sort of thing, where children are dedicated. Someone used the word baptized. We wouldn't use it in that context.
That's
we would
not
say
baptism.
Full immersion baptism is what Jesus did, so that's why we do it. But tell me, did you get baptized?
Yes.
When? How old were you when you got baptized?
Well, the last time was just on Thursday.
For all of those playing along at home,
elaborate on that.
Producer Simon, can you please give some context for why the senior pastor just got baptized again?
Sure, we did baptize him several times in some audio tests in our building to make sure that on Sunday everybody can hear the people in the baptistry.
If people knew what we did to practice for church, that would it's just silly. We actually, believe it or not, and this is a shout out to Pastor Deanna, who's one of the smaller members of our staff here at WBC. She was a bit worried she wouldn't be able to lift people in it, put people to lift them up out of the water.
Right.
And I said, we've got a pulley system for that. But Pastor Stan ended up being the
guinea pig
that got baptized. So you've been baptized three more times by your own wife, which is,
nice moment.
It was beautiful.
Yeah. But no, I was baptized when I was 17 years old.
Yeah.
After I came to faith in Christ.
What was it about? What convinced you to do that? Do you remember? Because it's kind of exciting.
I honestly don't remember.
Wow.
I just remember I had come to faith. I'd come to understand that I was a sinner in need of a Savior, asked for forgiveness of my sins, and just the people I was hanging out with at that point believed that theologically the next step is baptism, and I just was silly enough to say, yeah, okay, that's fine.
Do you remember any feeling or momentum associated with that as far as how your faith sort of did it? Did it feel like it fast-forwarded anything? Did it feel like it solidified into belief? Or is it just a moment that anchors your story when you think back through it?
I might say none of the above.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that there wasn't a feeling about it or anything. It was just a, this is what you're meant to do. And I understood it. Okay, that's what the Bible says I'm supposed to do. So I just did it. I was a good kid.
Mm.
I was compliant. I did what I was supposed to do. I was a
and you've changed since then.
I was a rule follower. Yeah.
What happened? What happened to that guy?
And now I live more in grace. So But no, it really wasn't a big emotional thing for me. And the whole anchor point again, I probably I tend to make sure I don't overemphasize baptism. Because for me, the moment was salvation when I accepted Christ.
Sure, sure.
That's the anchor point.
But the public profession part is where it's like, okay, I can't hide this anymore, and so it's a public space where you say, this is what I believe. Whereas a salvation prayer can be a very private moment.
Yeah. And I sometimes we have to journey with people in that because people will want to go ahead and get baptized, and they'll say, oh, can I come do that without anybody else in the room?
Mm.
And it's a difficult journey for some people with that because my first response was, well, actually, baptism, it's not about getting dunked under the water, really.
Yeah.
Although we do believe that's the way you get baptized. It's about the public profession. So if you want a private baptism, there's a disconnect there. So one of the things I'll tell people is, well, we could probably do that, but we want to video that and then play that in a service or something. So you're still doing a public declaration. Yeah. But if maybe you're too nervous just to get in the water in front of 450 people, you know, we might can make some adjustments and do it. But still, somehow, that testimony has to be public.
Because as we keep saying to people, there's nothing magical about water. You can't make water more than it is. It's just water. There's nothing supernatural about the water. It's the obedience and it's the public declaration. Producer Simon, have you been baptized?
Yes.
When were you baptized?
Sometime after year 12. I don't know. You know, some people like know the day. I can't remember the date.
Yeah, you were there.
I was there. It was with a church that I was at, like in a school gym kind of church, smaller church.
Oh, wow.
At the time. And they brought in one of those, you know, almost like the trough tanks on the trailer kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Filled it up, squeezed in there, went under.
I grew up in, and so why did you get baptized? What compelled you to get baptized? Do you remember?
I don't. I mean, it would have been, there was multiple people on the day, so it may well have been a call of that next steps thing and that declaration to it. So I'd put it down to that really at that point in my life.
But I love it because it's that personal thing that there's still a moment in your faith where you stand in front of people and say, this is me, this is what I believe. As wild as it is that we believe what we believe, it anchors our hope and it drives our life. As we've talked about in this season where we've talked about the six habits we've talked about. For me, growing up in Gippsland, we had the corrugated iron baptismal tank where someone had taken the hose, you know, the gardening hose, and you cut a slot in it and that goes over the edge of the corrugated iron around.
Sure,
and then you get a bit of Sally's All Seal and you seal it up. And then you fill it.
That's a safe church's thing.
That's a safe church's thing. Can you imagine? But the nice thing was we were good people. So afterwards the youth group would form a line with buckets and bucket it out onto the garden.
Right.
Yeah.
My father-in-law got baptized in water restrictions with a bucket of water over the head because we weren't allowed to fill a tank of water.
Oh, wow.
It was like in the deepest, strongest restrictions.
Whatever you've got to do, just be obedient. Yep. Hey, man, congratulations on – thanks for sharing your baptism story. I really appreciate it. And that public faith declaration is massive for anybody that goes through that space. We are not going to see you for a few weeks.
It's true.
Because you're a jerk. Oh, no, because why won't we see you?
I'm traveling overseas on a holiday with my family.
Oh. I am sailing – I am set. I'm getting blank stares on that one. Stan's looking at me like that because that song's not by Casting Crowns. That's. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, audience. I thought it was worth it too. But mate, we're going to miss you for a few weeks. But I thought if it's okay with you, we've had enough of you for this particular podcast. Sure. But we're pretty excited to replace you with someone better looking.
We do have a special guest.
Yes, we do. Would you like to introduce our special guest?
We've got a new staff member here at WBC to run and organise and manage all of our kids' mins, and they are called Mel Viamatahau.
Mel Viamatahau.
Come on in, I'm going to get out of this chair and we can chat with Mel.
All right, no worries. So, Pastor Stan, I believe you have approved of this this appointment. It's okay to have Mel on team.
I thought you just said that I have approved of this disappointment. But you said this appointment.
Oh, yes. My goodness. Okay. She's not disappointing. We are fantastically excited.
No, we are very excited, and I definitely approve. This appointment does have the approval of the management.
Absolutely. Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast and the church stuff, the inevitable, the amazing Mel Viamatahau.
Pleasure being here, guys.
Sorry, the studio is still...
Mel, how long did it take you to learn to say your last name?
I was very quick with it. I don't know why, I just have an ear for that sort of language.
So give us the American version of the Tongan surname. How do you say it?
Viamatahau.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is, I'm sorry.
That was just beautiful.
I'm sorry, the studio audience is pretty. Sorry, just do that again.
Viamatahau.
Okay, everyone playing along at home. Viamatahau.
There you go. It's not too bad. Yeah.
At the end.
Break it up.
Break it up. Yeah. Break it up, kids. That's a good parenting technique, actually. Break it up, kids. So, Mel, welcome to the Elaborators. It's lovely to have you with us. We're talking baptism for some reason because we're coming up to Easter and we're talking about the renewal and the redemption and all of the stuff that faith brings to our lives. Were you baptized as a younger person?
I was at the age of 13. I came to Christ at 12 and I got baptized the next year, actually at the same place that I accepted Christ. So it was very special to me.
Wow. Where was that?
We used to go to these Christian camps every summer, Camp McCullough, and it had a lake and everything. So some of us chose to get baptized at that specific lake where the camp is held.
Oh, so you outside in the lake?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So Who baptized you? Do you remember who baptized you?
Yeah. So it was my pastor, head pastor at the time, Pastor Vic. Shout out. Yeah.
Shout out to Pastor Vic.
Yeah. So he baptized me and actually my siblings. So my two step siblings and my sister, we all got baptized at the same time. And for me, it was more of a declaration to my non-Christian family for them to see how important that decision was to me. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So how old were your siblings?
They were about 15 and 17 at the time.
So 15, 17, 12. Yeah. So you've stepped into a role now where you'll be helping our kids understand Jesus and a walk of faith. How important was it to you as a child? Because my understanding is you stepped into church almost by default because your stepmom was a kids pastor. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I was into the serving side of it before I even understood really what church was.
Mm.
So serving, I guess, is very important to me because of that.
So we've just gone through the Six Habits series, right. And one of them was serving. And
which is my first gift.
Service is your first gift. Yeah. Awesome, yeah. Awesome. So you come from a coaching background as well, playing and coaching basketball. Mm-hmm. So Stan and I just wanted to know, what is the deal with Ben Simmons?
Bit of a disappointment, huh? We won't get too far into that, guys, but... Because I think he'd probably agree.
Disappointment had something to do with this conversation.
It's good.
He's still blaming his knee and his back, so we're okay with that.
Yeah. So here's the big question, though. Mm-hmm. Jordan or LeBron?
Ooh. Oh, Jordan, hands down.
Hang on. How did you miss Kobe in there? Don't you have to say Jordan, LeBron, or Kobe?
You don't.
Kobe's old news.
Oh.
He's not in the conversation anymore.
Oh, wow. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we've just hit a controversial moment here. So hang on. So Kobe's not in the conversation with LeBron or Jordan?
Nope.
Not according to Shaq.
Yeah, but who is Shaq?
Shaq's just Shaq and a fool all the time.
I actually still have a six-pack of Shaq Pepsi bottles that have Pepsi in them still. During his rookie season, they sold those. So I'm saving them. That's my retirement. I think they're up to like $47.
$47, ladies and gentlemen. So Mel, I'm sure that basketball will be a big conversation in the future. What's your hopes for, and maybe to people listening, why is kids, a specific kids service on a weekend so important, do you think?
Oh, wow. Well, kids, you know, they're an essential heart of God's kingdom and just ministry in general. And so it's important to reach them in the way that they will be affected best. So that's why we gear services toward them, so that we can reach them effectively and help them to understand God's love best. So.
And you're a musician and a singer and stuff. Are there songs that you learned as a child in Sunday school that still stick with you?
Yeah, there's a few, yeah. They're probably not relevant anymore now though, are they?
I was hoping someone would write. What's your, Stan's got one. What, there's got to be one there. Michael rowed the boat ashore.
Oh, that's an oldie. Yeah.
I don't know that one. No.
Jesus loves me like that.
Yeah, Jesus loves me.
This one.
Deep and wide.
Deep and wide? Yeah.
Deep and wide. Think about that. You've got kids singing that.
Yeah.
What in the world does that mean?
I don't know. Seriously. That's where you get baptized, in the deep and wide part. I don't know. Yeah. But music is an effective tool. Games are an effective tool. But essentially what we're saying is children can be told that Jesus loves them and that there's a life of faith ahead of them that can bring peace and joy, right?
Yeah, 100%. So we like to break down simply for them because it can be a very complex message, but you know, them just even understanding God's love is kind of good enough to start with, and then we just build from there.
And that was your story you were 12, so you were into the, you were preteen when you sort of started coming into that church space, but still massively impacting on your life.
Yeah, definitely. For pretty much growing up not in a non-Christian secular home, I kind of always felt like something was missing and I didn't know what, you know, but on a deeper level, obviously, when I was kind of in that 11, 12 range, I started to understand what that was. And so that those child years, you know, adolescence, they played a very formative part of my life. So that's why I have such a huge passion for kids ministry in general.
And just while we're at it, let's give a huge shout out to all of the Kidsmen people out there that every single Sunday are getting out there and doing whatever they can, sometimes in churches that don't have a lot of resource and whatever, you know, photocopying and cutting out activity sheets and colouring in the wall or whatever they need to do to make it happen. Certainly when I was younger, some of the things we did to create Kidsmen was kind of funny, you know, because you had that one building where all the adults would meet, and then most churches have just like the other room. Yes, you've all been to that church that just has the other room. Yeah. So big shout out to all of those that are trying to make faith life for kids a great choice. Stan, did you ever get involved in kids? I mean, you've sort of done everything else.
Wow, I have not processed that.
There you go. Hang on, we'll give you some thinking time. No, that wasn't thinking time. I don't have a thinking time music, but anyway, we'll come back to it.
Not on Sundays, but we had Wednesday night kids programs and things, and I got involved in those. Those were my very early days of volunteering in church. And I figured out that probably wasn't my sweet spot. You know, kids would misbehave and I would do things like pick them up and sit them down on the table and say, stay there. And literally, I had a kid tell me, my parents are going to call DHHS on you.
Yeah, that's...
So we decided very quickly, not my area of ministry.
No, probably a good choice, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to tell you this other one. On a Mother's Day one time, we had men doing the creche and all that, mm-hmm. So the women could... because anyway, that was in another.
How very sweet.
That was really cute.
But hey, it was in another lifetime.
I love that the men thought they were doing a favor.
Anyway, listen, please. Okay, there is a story here.
Meanwhile, the mums are all stressing in the background.
Yeah, okay, so then,
what are they? You can't feed the children Mars bars. Stop it.
Anyway, that was another time and era and country. Yeah. And so at the end of the time, we needed to clean up, right?
Yeah.
So the box that the toys go in is over there, right? And the toys are over here. So I wanted to play a game with the kids. Let's clean up the toys. So we throw the toys into the box. So my mom came in, and the kids are throwing toys. It's like, you can't do that. And I'm like, why? It's getting the job done.
Why not? That's
all the women.
And that was literally the last time I was in Kidsmen. Can I come to Kidsmen this week?
You know, sure. Why not? We'll give it a try.
I think what we're saying here, friends, listening to the Laborators, if you're going to express your gift, maybe find out what your gift is first and get the shape right first. We have talked a bit about shape over the last little while. What, Pastor Sam, what is your shape?
Round.
Round is a shape. I'm sorry. I just don't have enough. I just don't have enough.
No. Well, your shape is more than your gifts.
Yeah.
It's your spiritual gifts. It's your heart. It's your, what's the A? I forgot the A. Help me.
Attitude,
help me.
Is it? I don't know. Aptitude. No. I guess
you're
what I'm
talking
asking
about my spiritual gifts.
Where do you fit best? You've talked about, there's a couple of areas that we're joking a bit about.
Leading and preaching. Yeah. Those would be my primary.
So telling people to sit down and shut up. No, I mean, listen, the children. Oh, no, that was supposed to be, but you've discovered that's where your gift is. So
yes.
Basically that's where you've ended
up. And
that's
where I keep developing and things like that. But it was okay for me to try out those other spaces.
Yeah.
And that helped me learn that that's not my space. That's why I needed Mel in our context here.
Yeah.
People like Mel to come in and actually do that space because they love kids and relate well to them. And
no, because the point is, I guess, that when you love Jesus and you've done something as public as getting baptized and saying, "Hey, I'm on about things of faith," the natural thing is then to say to other people, "Hey, you need a bit of this. This is great." But you realize over time that there's sections of the community, the age groups, or whatever, that just don't get how you're wired, and you try and communicate it. And we've all had that thing of trying to communicate how much faith in Christ has changed our lives, and people don't hear it. And that's why we need everybody in their right spot. And that's why I'm so excited to invite Mel onto our team and just welcome her onto our team, I should say, and just say we're so excited for what our kids get because of your passion. We're excited. So
thank you. I'm welcome, very excited.
Welcome aboard. As we head into Easter, we're just praying for you and your households that you would actually experience the peace of Christ, even though this weekend is one of those strange weekends in the Christian calendar where we actually contemplate the pain and the agony of the death of Christ, but the joy and the victory of the resurrection of Christ. And again, the miraculous nature of all of that speaks to us about how we live and how we move. The Bible says, in him we live and breathe and have our being, which is an incredible statement in and of itself. But for you guys sitting in the Elaborators podcast studio right now, what does Easter actually mean to you? Does it help you in any way, do you think? Have you taken time over the years to stop and, I mean, obviously we've probably been the people preparing the services and making the weekend happen for people. So sometimes it's hard to contemplate and actually get that reflective moment, but maybe take a moment now and tell me why it's important to, we say celebrate, but take pause and remember over this Easter weekend. What do you reckon, Steve?
Well, interestingly, because I've been doing this for so long, every Easter, that is a big work day, you know, and a big week leading up. And it's, don't know that I've spent a lot of time in recent years reflecting on that, other than it's exciting because we know that we're going to have people who don't normally come to church, and it's an opportunity to be able to meet new people and to reach out to them. I think for me, this last week, as I was preparing to preach, one of the things that really struck me, and I've seen this before, but not this magnitude, that 40% of the Gospels is dedicated to this last week of Jesus' life. And that was almost kind of overwhelming to me. It's like, wow, they dedicated that much. We don't have a lot written, and they spent that much on one week. It's like, wow, that's amazing to me. And I also loved the fact that in the middle of that week, Jesus, there was a day he didn't do anything. Yeah, and that struck me too. But anyway, I don't know if that's exactly what you were asking, but...
No, but I think that's the point, is that you've been doing this for a long time. You've spent a lot of Easters in church, and yet this Easter, you've learned something new.
There's still fresh and new stuff.
You've found something new to inspire your heart and anchor your spirit as well, which is an exciting thing. What is it for you, Mel? What does Easter mean to you and your family?
I think for us, it's like you're saying, a celebration, but right now in the position I'm in life, you know, each year we're focusing maybe on something different, but for me it's new life and the baptisms and everything that we get to do on Sunday that really speaks to me in a way that, you know, we get to celebrate Jesus's new life and what that represents for us as Christians and the kingdom, God's kingdom that we have access to now because of that love and him being resurrected. So for me, for our family this year, we're going to focus on new life and what that means for us and how we should really take advantage of the time and be intentional with the life that we have.
So, absolutely. Oh, I like that. Oh, yes. Take time and be intentional with the life that you have. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being part of the Elaborators today. I hope you've been enjoying these podcasts. If you haven't, don't tell us that.
Is that fair enough?
We don't want to know.
Yeah, we can delete those emails.
do get in touch with us especially if you'd like us to elaborate on something in particular. We'd love to hear from you. Share the podcast around. Producer Simon, hey!
Hello!
Have fun on your holiday!
Thanks, I'm already on it.
Happy birthday!
Hey. How are we going to produce a podcast without Simon?
You're doing it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think we're going to take a hiatus.
No, so next week, I think we're getting the reel-to-reel out.
Things will get very real if we do that. Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. It's going to get very real in the next 4 weeks, but stick around. We'll produce something for you. Won't be as good as what producer Simon makes, but that's okay. Mel's here. She'll make it better, won't
you? I don't know how I can help, but I'll try.
All right. Well, welcome aboard at WBC.
Thank you.
All of those out there that aren't part of our in-person church, get on the internets and check us out on YouTubes and all the rest of it. We'd love to say g'day. And if you're in a place where you're not involved in a local church, we'd like to know where you are and who we could connect you with, because we think it's important to be part of a faith community, especially over this Easter weekend. So happy Easter to everyone. If you're listening to this after Easter, I hope you had a good one. God bless you. We'll see you next time.